Morning, everybody. So yesterday we spoke about, I think the big takeaway from yesterday was is that first of all, we need to be Oile Dager in Abitochen, using Rashi's approach. What gets in the way of grappling with Rashi is this need to understand. Things are happening that I don't want to happen, and I don't understand it. I don't like it. So he brought very clearly that he's going to mamshich that as well. Now we don't understand cheshbon shemaim. We don't understand. We have a very limited picture on reality. We live for 80, 90, 100 years of those. We have understanding for maybe 30, 40 of those years, and the world is the world's much bigger than us. It's massive. As we discover more and more, we realize how little we understand. It's one of the big takeaways from this corona. You know, the world's greatest experts in every field of science and medicine or whatever are grappling with unlimited funding to grapple with something we don't understand it. As we find out one thing about it, we discover 50 things that we don't understand. And there are many areas like this. There are many things. The world is massive. You start looking at the stars, you start looking at black holes, and you start looking at subatomic particles, whatever there's a whole variety. We don't understand. And that's the first pasuk in Bereishis, Es Hashemayim Ves Haaretz. Haaretz, Hashem explains to us a little bit what's going on, but Shemayim Elo Lo Mivinim Klum, we don't understand. It's beyond, it's unfathomable. It's beyond our comprehension. There's planets out there that are 17 trillion light years away. You know, that's like beyond. We can't fathom. And they're flying around at unbelievable speeds. And they're doing exactly what they're supposed to do, and they're predictable, and they just we don't understand the most basic biology today anymore. So as we get clever and cleverer, we realize how little we understand. So we don't understand. He brings a marshal here from the Chofetz Chaim, which is it's a well-known marshal. We'll read it because it's here. Well, a person has to make his own mashalim that works for him. It's a nice marshal. It explains it. But we have, there's more today that a person can use to machazak this aspect of kama we don't understand. From Kuf Pei Dalet, he says like this: Marana Chofetz Chaim Zatzal Mevi'al Kach Moshel. Ma'aser Adam Shenikla Riachas. You got a person who's traveling and he happens to land up Shabbos in a certain place, who's mitpalel bebeis midrash shel Eiria, and he davens in the shul, in the local shul of the town, city, the village, whatever. And b'shas chalukas aliyas, mitpale lirot et agabai machalek oisin bo'ifin shirin kibilti musuda kibilti mutzdak. He notices the Gabbai handing out aliyahs in a way that doesn't make any sense. The dog doesn't know what he's doing. L'aliyah Rishayna Nikra Avrech Tzir. The first aliyah he gives to like a young Avrech. Harava lo rak b'aliyah shlishis. The Rav only gets shlishi. Yesh anashim shelo zochu klal b'aliyah l'marot shal pi marai em yu mechubodim v'chashu v'akal. Some very choshuv looking, wow, leaders of the community didn't get an aliyah at all. You get some people that don't look called kach, you know, they're sitting there in the back of the shul, and they did get aliyahs. He was mamash, he was very aroused by this, you know, his curiosity got the better of him. He tell me, Mr. Gabbai, you don't have a better system how you give aliyahs, yeah? You don't know what you're doing, you know, let me show you how you do things, yeah, better. So the Gabbai says to him, listen, you're a visitor, yeah? It's your first Shabbos in our shul, yeah? The Avrech Tzir that got the first Aliyah, he had to say Agoimo. The one other guy, he had a Simcha at home. The Chashuv Ekal got an Aliyah last week, and this guy's making a bris tomorrow, so he had to get Aliyah, and there's all this one, got a bar mitzvah. It's all very worked out, all the suda. But you just pop in here once in a lifetime, and you think you understand all the cheshbonis, yeah? The Krol Prat Yesh Cheshbon, each one's got a cheshbon. Yesh bebeis midrash pinkas musuda. We've got a book here And each guy, we know exactly when he got a leah and how he got a leah and what he got a leah for. They find out who to call on every Shabbos. So that's a well-known, well-worked marshal. It's ma'od, ma'ira. That's what's going on. Adam ha-magiel olam hazeh lezman katzah u'bebchinas ha-reach bilvad. We're a visitor. You're passing through. How long are you going to be around here for? You know, this world's been going on for a few years. You know, before I got here, the world managed to run without me for a while. You know, got to a point now where it couldn't run without me. That's why I'm here. That's what a person needs to remember on his birthday. Is the day you were born was the day the world couldn't function without you anymore. Because if it could, you wouldn't have been born. The world needs us. You need to be here. Aval, we don't understand too much. We understand too much. In the short time we're here, you understand this guy's poor, this guy's rich. Why is this guy sick? He's well. Why is this guy this? Why has this got children? This guy hasn't. Amon shaylot that we have. Well, you think it's hefka? Everything's got a purpose. It's all mechushban. The joke. In Shemayim, there's a book there. There's a ledger. But kol mitnayel lo opi cheshbon medukdak. And it's all mamish down to the last molecule. Yesh cheshbon shel poikid oven avoy sabonim u'meidach yesh bali schuy tanitzolim u'mipironias begin schuyosom. There's gilgulim, there's history, there's paying for the sins of the fathers, there's a schus avoy. There are amon cheshbonis that our computer, there's not a computer big enough in the world. You put all the computers in the world together, they're not big enough to process the cheshbon shemayim. That we understand. There's no the cheshbonos are too complex. Just for one person to work out the cheshbonos, you could never in a million years work out the cheshbonos. So too, you work out the cheshbonos of each and every person. If you work through this and you understand how little we don't understand, so then Talmid to you is not so difficult. Talmid to you is not so difficult because what are you gonna mechake out? What are you gonna work out? But I mentioned, probably mentioned a few times, there's a ma'od at this place, there's a ma'od, I don't want to sound like I'm quoting myself, you know what I'm saying? If I'm saying it, it's because it's relevant, I don't want to be quoting myself, but there's a famous ma'isa, the famous ma'isa that Shlomo Kluge brings down by the, just to show Kama we don't understand, when Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by Rabbi Akiva there, what's going on? Hashem says to him, keep quiet. If you ask any more questions, I'll turn the world back to Tohu Vabohu. I'll destroy the world. So it sounds like a bit of a harsh response to a good question. It's a good question. Tell him, listen, sorry, Moshe, you're not big enough to understand the answer. Fine, okay, that's a good. But what's the response? Shush, shtok, or kach ala b'machshava. And if you ask any more, turn the world back to Tohu Vabohu. Oh, wow, just. You know, there's not a cheder rebbe. You know, the kid just asked a question. Answer his question. You know, tell him you don't understand. What do you have to beat the kid up for? Because he asked a good question. You know, so Shlomo Kluge says as a marshal, who was a king who had an unbelievably expensive piece of gold material made from gold thread. It was worth a fortune, and he wanted to make a beg out of it. But before you give that piece of material to a tailor, you want to make sure he's the best guy in the town. So he sent out investigators to find the best tailor in the Medina, and they found the old Yid, the Yiddish tailor, and they found he's the best guy. He won the first prize in the tailor competition, and he's the guy. So they bring him to the king, and the king gives him this material, explains to him what kamazeh shaveh, and he asks him, do you think you can do the job? He says, no problem. He measures him, whatever, he goes off, he cuts, he does, he works, whatever, he comes back a few weeks later, months later, and the king tries it on, and it's unbelievable. The king is so happy, it's like really a work of art, okay? And he gives the tailor award and shvach and praises, whatever. One of the ministers there is not so happy, a bit of an anti-Semite, not so happy that the Yid's getting too much praise. It's not so, you know, it's like for him, it's a local kachtov. So he wants to cause trouble. That happens in every generation. We have our troublemakers. So he goes to he says to the king, listen, this tailor's a ganef. He says, what do you mean? He says, you gave him a piece of material this big, yeah? Big piece of material. Kacha. Go have a look at the beggar. There's material missing. He stole material from you. Look. So the king looks and he says, Taka, you're right. You know, the material, the beggar looks much smaller than the big piece of material I gave you. So he's very upset, the king. Amish. I gave this guy such a good salary and such reward and whatever. Now he goes off and he goes and steals, brings him back. He says to him, listen, you know, I don't understand you. I gave you, I didn't pay you enough. I didn't look after you properly, whatever. What did you have to steal for? He says, what are you talking about? What did I steal? He says, look at the baguette, how small it is compared to the big piece of material I gave you. The tailor understands what's going on and says to him, listen, I'm telling you now, there's not a thread missing from this baguette, what was in that original piece of material. But you're not going to believe me if I tell you that. So what I have to do is I have to take the baguette and I have to unravel it and show you that there's nothing missing. There's a hem here. Over here in the collar, it's doubled over. If I would unravel this piece of material, you would see every piece of this baguette. You would see that every thread of the original piece of material you gave me is there. There's nothing missing. But I can't show that to you, calls man, the baguette's a baguette. In order to do that, I have to unravel the baguette and take it back to the piece of material. You weren't there when I made the baguette. You didn't see how I had to put this here, and this goes double, and this goes inside, and this strengthens the collar and the shoulder pads. And it becomes a business. It's an art making a baguette. So that's what Hashem was telling Moshe. If you want to understand what's going on with Rabbi Akiva and all the other issues you have, I can't show you two other worlds of world. To that, I have to unravel the world, take you back to the beginning of my Sebrachis, and show you the call spectrum of 6,000 years. I have to take the world back to Tov Abov. Were you there when I created the world? You understand what's going on? We all like the guy in the Chofetz Chaim's Marshall. You pop into town for a day, and you don't know what came before, and you don't know what's tomorrow, and we have no clue, nothing. You want to understand why Hashem does everything the way he does it? So you have to have access to all his data. No, God, well, understood. So now, Tomim Tiyem and Shelem Akecha is much easier. Because you know you don't understand. What you have to understand, what Torah gives you to understand, you have to try and understand to the best of your ability. But if you will understand everything you can understand, you understand that you haven't understood very much. So that's poshut. So now we can get to Tomim Tiyem and Shelem Akecha. First of all, even if you could be choike al the siddos, even if you could think about what's going to be, it's not going to provide you with a lot of tranquility. It doesn't. Sitting here and speculating what's going to be, who's going to be, where going to be, vu, do, here, that's not going to calm you down. Even if you would know what's going to happen, Eliyahu Novi himself would come. In a year, things are going to change, things are going to get better. You'll be taken out of your poverty and you'll become a big, big rich man. Ramonot calls those Bazan Tsa, Ein Alav Yechel Achil Yedir Seilu. In the middle of a tzar, when a person's sitting, when you're tranquil, then knowing what's going to be in the future can help a person. But then I don't need to know what's going on because I'm chilled now. But a person who's struggling and he's battling with let's take Lola into poverty, yeah? He doesn't know he's going to feed his family tomorrow. Never mind tomorrow, tonight. Loyuda. He doesn't know what he's going to, Mamash doesn't know what he's going to give his family to eat tomorrow morning for breakfast. Loyuda, poverty is overwhelming him. You come tell him in a year's time you're going to be a big rich man. No, that chills him down now. Now he's calm. Now he's not worried about the fact that he's going to feed his family tomorrow. For sure not. It might give him a little bit of a ooh, oh, you know, at least I have to do this for a year. Yeah, okay, fine. But now he's in a matzav and he's still fighting and struggling and battling and he's doegging and he's worried and doesn't know what's going to be. I think that's posh, yeah. The knowing that the future things are going to get better is a kenozeh, and a person has to work on that. A person has to work on focusing on what's waiting for him at Olam Haba and kama tov it's going to be and give simcha from that in order to overcome the nisoinus. For sure, a person who knows he's getting out of prison, so it helps him to know he's getting out. The guy who's in prison for life, he's never going to get out, as in a much worse situation, for sure. But when a person's in a matzav, knowing that it's going to improve in the distant future, it doesn't tranquilize you now. It doesn't calm you down now. You can't take it in. When a person's drowning in a situation, you can't take in other situations. I think that's possible. If you look at it yourself, you'll see how much knowing about the future can calm you down and how much it can't. In the Memches Kinyanei HaTorah, there's two simchas. There's Samach B'chelchoy and there's B'simcha. That's a Mishnah. He can't have two. Can't have two things the same. So Kenzan Ulai, the Samach Bechelko is now. Doesn't it to be Samach Bechelko now? Besimcha means you have to have simcha because of what's waiting for you in the future. It is something like that. But when a person is drowning in problems and difficulties, knowing that it's going to be bad in 6 months' time, that doesn't take away the worry now. It doesn't help too much now. Duma Adova, the Tinuk Shenoilad. Brings a moshali, a baby that's just been born. Rega later, Poyretz HaTinuk Chose Yishir Bebechi. Baby gets born and he just potetzes with screaming. Kedakam Shal Tinuk, because they know them, like all children. You know, they start screaming when they get born, screaming and shouting. Yeah. It ben rega kat ki medubar betinuk sheosid legodol liyos berabbi sashanim Reb Yisrael Meir Kohen miradit. Let's say we're talking about a child that's going to grow up and he's become the Chofetz Chaim. Sheosid legodol air es ha'olam liyos bala Chofetz Chaim. He's going to be the godol ador, the poisek achron, Can't begin to even start thinking or even talking about the enormous godless of who the Chofetz Chaim was. We can't begin to understand who he was. Could you calm this child down, this baby down, even if you would understand what you're saying? But telling him, listen, you know, you're going to be the Chofetz Chaim, your books are going to be in everybody's homes, you know, you're going to more the world in Shmir Saloshin and Elochas and the Mishnah Brura and tili bundles of Elochas that the whole world's going to not be able to function without you. Sfarim, Ashkenazim, Hasidim, Misnagdim, the ganze Welt, the whole world. No one can function without the Chofetz Chaim. Impossible. You can't. It's impossible to live without the Chofetz Chaim, whoever you are. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Yeah, you tell him that. So now the baby's going to go, wow, now you'll stop crying. The child doesn't understand what you're talking about. He can't understand what we're talking about. He doesn't understand the depth of what you're speaking about. Can't understand, can't apply it. Every house is going to have a picture of you. And then there's going to be a video of you. People are going to watch and sit and cry and watch your video. You know, yeah, in Tafshin Ein, when did it come out? Whenever Ein Zayin, the video of the Chofetz Chaim, I mean, it was unbelievable, yeah? Your picture's going to be everywhere. It's going to be on every telephone, in every taxi, on every fridge, on everywhere, wherever you go. It's going to be a picture of you in the whole world. It's not going to help the baby to stop crying. It's a seemingly cheap kind of a marshal. Of all, the bottom line is somebody who's in pain, someone who's in tsar, the future doesn't take away the pain he's in now. We have very little understanding of reality. Even if you'd show us the future, what's waiting for us, if you're in the middle of a major nisoyin, that wouldn't tranquilize you. Person's in Auschwitz, Rachmana Litzlan, and they come and show him what's going to be. Aval Achshav, he's starving to death. He's running away from typhoid and diarrhea and all sorts of. You tell him, yeah, in 3 months' time, the Americans are coming. You're going to go to fine, and you've got American. Oh, they said, talk to me later. Aval Achshav, ani lo yochol. It wouldn't help. A little bit, maybe, or like, you know, but for 1 minute, and then it's gone again, because now you're drowning. Therefore, the only way to deal with the drowning that each person is going through in his own particular situation is imunas belayv. Belayv meaning, yeah, in the head. Imunah tmima b'li shelot. Imunah, like we spoke yesterday, not blind imunah, without questions. We've asked our questions. We know who we're dealing with. Imunah based on a deep knowledge, on a das. We're not talking about blind faith. It doesn't have questions because we already have the answer to the question. Then you can kick into action that whatever Hashem does is for the good. But it has to start with an imun and understanding of it's too big. We can't understand it. And knowing what's going to be in the future, it can't help you right now. For sure, a person has to work on thinking about Olam Haba, and we have to ma'ir ourselves and machadish ourselves, and there's meditations a person has to do, thinking about the unbelievable pleasure. And Rav Dessler speaks about how you have to use your imagination to imagine the unbelievable pleasure waiting for a person in Olam Haba. For sure, you have to do that. But when a person's drowning, that's not what's going to help. That's not going to help. What's going to help is Tomim Tiyum Hashem Elokecha. To be makabel what's happening, because this is from Hashem. I don't understand. Aval zeh letova. Yeah, but how can it be for your good if it's this? And shtok. They're not going to help you, all those questions. The law is there. The law will makom. Because we can't understand. It's like the guy asking the gabbai, but what about him? You haven't got access to the pinkas, to the little book that shows you all the cheshbon neshamayim. So that's good. Now, person for sure. We don't speak about it enough. They don't teach it in the schools enough. We have to talk about Olam Haba. We talk about Gehenna. We have to talk about Gan Eden. It's part of Torah. It's part of a Jew's life. We have to know it. It's Chavoinish. You have to know what that looks like. But Desla gives a Moedika exercise on how to imagine the pleasure that's waiting for you in Olam Haba. It says that all the pleasure of this world, yeah, Mishnah says all the pleasure of this world doesn't get to the Kairas Ruach of a moment of Olam Haba. Now, the Kairas Ruach means not the thing itself. Kairas Ruach just means a whiff of the pleasure. Like Rav Miller uses the example like of a chicken soup that's cooking on Erev Shabbos. You come home, it's a cold, windy day. You walk into the house and there's that smell. You know, you walk in, there's that, you know, the Shabbos cooking. That's the Kairas Ruach. It's not even the pleasure itself. Not even the chicken soup itself. It's just the smell. So just a whiff of pleasure in Olam Haba. There's not enough pleasure in this world that can stand on one side of the scale and balance out with that pleasure. So he gives it, how do you go about doing that? How do you internalize that? He says, just think about all the moments of pleasure you had this week. Just you this week. Sit down for a few minutes, take all those bundles of all the pleasure you had this moment, put it into a bag. Okay, now that's just this week. What about this month? Yeah, go take them and put that all in the bag. Then go and take the whole year. Yeah, sit there, think about it, go through it, whatever you can, take all the pleasures you've had. Yeah, stick it back into the bag. Now go take your whole lifetime. Every moment of pleasure you had in your lifetime, go put that into the bundle. That's just you. What about your family? Well, go take all their moments of pleasure. That's just your family. What about the whole town where you live? All the pleasure of the whole town. You have to do this, not just talk about it. I can talk about it. It's easy. You have to actually do this. Sit there and think about all the pleasure that everybody in your town ever had. That's just your town. There's a country that you live in. Yeah. Then there's the whole world. All the pleasure of all the people, the Chinese, everybody. Throw them all in. Like all the pleasure that this world ever gave anybody, yeah, stick it into that bag. But that's just this generation. There's all the generations before. There's all the generations that are still going to come. All the pleasure that everybody ever had, has, and will have through the entire Bria, millions and millions and billions of people, yeah, all those moments of pleasure squeeze into one moment that would be an ecstatic. If you work this through, even if you spend 15 minutes meditating on this, you'll be in a different place. Okay, that doesn't even add up to the smell of the chicken soup. The smell of the pleasure of Olam Haba, the Kairas Ruach, not even the pleasure, but just the whiff, the side effect of the pleasure doesn't even add up to it. That's what's waiting for us. So, sure, you have to think about that and work on that. That's the simcha. But that you can do in a quiet, tranquil moment where you can sit and meditate and do this exercise. But when a person's busy, you know, when a pit bull terrier that hasn't eaten for 2 weeks is chasing you down the street, then thinking about Olam Haba and how wonderful pleasure you're going to have, zeh, zeh, zeh. Now you're in a pickle, and thinking about the future is not going to help you. I hope that's understandable. I hope that's clear, that distinction there. Okay. Fine. It says, "Kofer Zachaim, Beruach Zu, Yinkati mi Beis Hoyrei." He said, "This I absorbed this Ashkofer Zalaf from my parents. Hoyrei over is a Shoah, Hanoiro. His parents went through the Shoah. Velo Notshu es Imanosam Atmima Aflerega." They didn't let go of their emun tmima. They obviously had it before. They obviously got it from their parents. I mean, the unbelievable levels his family had of emunah and being makabel, call We saw his grandfather, who was beaten to death with a smile on his face, because wow, is a kef to dal skirish Hashem. That's okay. So I'll tell you just some of the things we went through and unbelievable stories. His mother was in Auschwitz. She went through unbelievable maisim. Aval, he tells his whatever. It's kedat to ya. Even if you've heard it before, the ma'ore ma'od how this looks. If never chomas hayu lamashnia garu bePressburg. They lived in Pressburg before the war. Anu abochor b'mishpacha noladeti lefi amilchama. If never chomah, he was born before the war, firstborn. Hagamin kibshuras hamet edmedinasenu b'shnat 1940, the Germans conquered Hungary. Auschwitz. They started sending people off to Auschwitz. They started sending people off to Auschwitz. Carried on living in Czechoslovakia under terrible, terrible conditions until 1942. Sorry, they went to Pressburg. Where was Pressburg? If Pressburg wasn't in Hungary, Pressburg was in Czechoslovakia then. Pressburg was once in Hungary, or whatever. I don't know. Sorry, maybe I just Pressburg in Czechoslovakia. They were moving the borders around. Okay, so that's correct there. So in 1944, the Germans then came also to Hungary. So they were running away from the Nazis, and the Nazis were catching up with them wherever they went. I'm going to just stop and process that one. These people from 1940 to 1944 are running. The war started already. Yeah, the war started in 1939. In the middle of World War II. Yeah, you're fleeing from town to town, from country to country. Your lives are whatever, terrible, nisayness, poverty, whatever. But they have three more children. Yeah, in the middle of all of that. Okay, Vesteda. Shekulam chayim bo Hashem. When the book was written, they were all alive. It was real, and his brother was nifted just before him. Some are still alive, some not. But at the time of this book, 20 years ago, whatever, or 20 years ago, 23 years ago, they were all still alive. V'hem talmidei chachomim uflogim. Moedik talmidei chachomim. His one brother was a rosh kollel of a choshen mishpat kollel of 650 avreichim, dayanim and whatever. All the dayanos in America came through them. In Hungary, they disguised themselves as goyim. They lived like goyim in order to avoid One Friday night, they got caught. It's 10 o'clock already. What are we going to do? I'll just finish this paragraph, and we'll deal with this again tomorrow. I apologize. The Murad Kozos, Bechmael Shabbat, they got caught, and most of them got sent to Auschwitz. Ima Yise Az Beshlavim mit Kademen Shel Tzipiel Oledes Shel Achoisi. The mother, now she's pregnant, okay? This is 1944, she's pregnant again after they were living in bunkers and whatever. This garden is going, and she's about to give birth to their sister. Kashanishim Ayu Tmeim Vesholim Oisei. You can't find words to understand what she's doing. What are these people thinking? Having children? So people asked her, what are you doing? Making ishtadlis to have children in this situation? What are you up to? You're living like mass, running from one hiding place to another. She answered them like this, and we'll end with this message, and we'll pick this up again tomorrow. Anachnu Yehudim, the Jews. Anachnu chayim lasoy ses amutla aleinu. V'ametzuva aleinu. We have to do what we have to do. We have to do what we commanded to do. V'Hashem Yisparach yaseh ma shehu roetzeh lasot. And Hashem can do whatever he wants. Look what Shua lai. I have to do what I have to do. Okay. Interesting halachi questions about how they were having children in the middle of that. It's not so poshut. You're allowed to, whatever. Ani lo nechnas lekol halachos hazeh. Because that's not my noseh now. Manoseh is that we're talking big here. This is not a small event. We're talking people that for 4 years, and maybe even before that, are living like mice, running away from the Nazis. We know that we understand what that looks like a little bit. I mean, you know, and she has four children. the sister, you'll see, she didn't survive. She got taken away from her in Auschwitz, from Engele. That daughter didn't survive, but she caused the mother to survive. The mother, as you say, that daughter gave birth to me, because had she not been pregnant, she would have died. Anyway, that's another story for another time. Aval, the vort is, I've got an instruction manual, and I live according to the instruction manual, and Hashem does what he wants. Mazik Kashur to me what he's doing. So he's got a war, and he's got an Auschwitz, and he's this and this. So what? That's his business. I have to do what I have to do. Okay, that's the basis of this imunah that we're talking about. That's unbelievable, godless and beyond. And those are yidden that were balabatim. His father was a big talmud chacham, but they worked or whatever. They weren't big rosh hashivas and tzaddikim. His mother was a yiddish mama, and they were on those dargas and mamoydik. But we can take something away from that as well. That we have to do what we have to do, and Hashem does what He wants to do. Mazik kashur alai. Okay, Bezrat Hashem, hopefully we'll see you guys tonight, those who want to come to Rav Tetz. Otherwise, there will be a recording available afterwards. So if anyone can't make it, so just let us, let me know, whatever. We'll maybe just send out the link to everybody. Okay. Have a good day, Rabbi Sat. Take good care.
Thank you, Rav Shah.